Now, okay, now we're going to set everything up. Okay. We're going to have fun. I'm so happy she isn't here. I can't tell you. Don't say anything.
You can put
this cushion up there. You don't need the pillow. And I'll take this off. That's good. And in the future, I'll just sit up here.
If you know
I'm coming.
Yep.
Because the other ones sit on the chair. Everyone likes the chairs. I made a vow I would never sit in a chair 15 years ago. I have never sat in a chair.
Wow.
Unless I cross my legs. If I cross my legs, I sit in a chair. In the airplane, I sit cross my legs. In the bus, in the car, if I came here, I cross my legs.
That's just...
Because that's how I learned how to sit. Always cross your legs. Then you don't have to practice sitting. You don't have any pain. So now we're going to have some fun. Okay? Matches. Candles. I prepare. Candle holders I made. I made candle holders. Okay. And then we can turn the lights off. Light incense. And have a sorry. Is that okay?
Yeah. When you're ready, I'll introduce you to the people.
Okay.
We've got some new people tonight.
Okay.
You want one on the tape? You want one each side?
No, we'll see how it goes. How much light we have from it. That's good enough.
You want the lights off when these are on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing, yeah.
Let's have another one here. And I have incense. And I have incense holder. Okay. Oh, that's good enough. Okay. And then incense. I bought the best incense I could find.
Okay.
It's rose incense. I do too. If it's still whole. I most likely broken in a lot of pieces. Because it's not, has no stick, you know? It's good incense, very expensive. Oh, it's all broken, little tiny pieces, that's good. We'll put a few pieces in here. A little piece here. A little piece here. Here's another piece. And put a piece here. That doesn't work.
Next time you make these.
I'll put this in.
It's on
now?
It is.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Bob can talk to me.
Okay.
Bob, he'll talk to me.
Who liked the rose incense?
Share it with other people.
Pieces of it. Beautiful incense. Mm-hmm. Here's little tiny pieces. You can always light it. Okay. This I give to you. And okay. You don't turn the lights off yet. Wait until I get organized.
You got smoke alarms in
it?
Yeah, but they need smoke. This is not going to smoke.
Okay. You want to turn the
light
down?
Where's the wind? Where's the wind coming from?
Oh, it's coming from the air conditioners up here.
Is there a way of controlling it?
Yeah, it's right above the door.
We used to be able to, but no.
Okay.
So they should be right there. If you sit there.
Yeah, but it's blowing. It's going to melt wax and everything. Maybe put them on this side. See how that goes.
You want one on one side?
Let's see how it goes with the wind. I'm thinking of the wind. No. It's okay. Okay. We just do it what we can.
Okay.
I'll re-roll myself. Oops. So, I just had a very serious accident. I almost died. That's why I haven't come in a long time. Wow. I came to this hospital on an emergency. This was in February 1st. I've been incapacitated since February 1st. And this is the first time out of the monastery. So you're very lucky.
Yeah.
And when I came to the hospital, I fell on my face and my jaw went into my spine and broke the first vertebrae, 1.5 millimeter break in the bone of the spine, of the neck. And I came to this hospital. I didn't know I had a broken neck. I came to the hospital. They put me in a brace, and they took me into emergency, right? And then the doctor checked me and said, no, nothing's wrong. Sent me home. It's a very good hospital. And sent me home, and I said, no, I want to have a scan because I don't feel good. I could tell something's wrong. Meditators know when something's wrong. And he said, no, you don't have the criteria for a scan. And then he sent me home. But then he looked and saw, hey, anyone over 65 has to have a scan. I'm 76, so you have to have a scan. You have to. You can't leave the hospital without a scan. So I had the scan, and they found out I had a broken neck. Then they told me I can't move. Now from going home, they tell me I can't move. They didn't let me move for 12 hours, not even get up, pee, eat, anything for 12 hours. Don't turn your head, because they have to talk to the specialist in Royal Perth Hospital before they even know anything. He has to see the scan. Anyway, and when he saw the scan, well, it was a very disaster. But anyway, and then he saw the scan, he sent me home. He said, well, there's nothing you can do. So they sent me home with a brace, the wrong brace. You can only wear that brace for one day. And I had to wear it for 2 weeks before I got so crazy from it that I realized this is not right. And then I got the right brace. I went to the Royal Perth Hospital and got the right brace. And so I've been wearing a brace up until Friday, last Friday. And was touch and go for a while. The doctors in Royal Perth Hospital said, I'll see you in 6 weeks, or I'll read your obituary. Very good doctors, aren't they?
They're telling the truth. You won't fall off the table, will you?
No, don't worry. But anything anyone says, I don't believe anything anyway. And you're going to die anyway, right?
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? Don't worry about dying. Because you're all going to die. Everyone in this room in 100 years is going to be dead. I'll give you a guarantee. If you want a guarantee. But we think we're not going to die. That's the problem. So that's your big problem.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Wow.
Wait. I'm not ready. Don't worry.
We're nearly at it. Yeah, hello everyone. Welcome to the Amada Meditation Group. As you can see, Rachel's not here tonight. She's having a night off.
Oh, that's good.
On the next best thing.
Don't let her listen to this.
Do we have any people, new people here tonight? First time? 1, 2. We have 2 new people not meditated before? Yes?
It doesn't matter.
No?
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you've never meditated. I've never meditated either, so we're in the same boat.
I'll just say a few announcements for the newer people. The older people know what they are. In the case of emergency, we have exit. You have to leave. And that is that door through there, down the end of the passage. And the other door down the other end of the passage. Could you please turn off your mobile phones? At about 8 o'clock, you'll hear an announcement come over the PA. It's for the visitors of the hospital to leave, not for here. So just ignore it. Toilets down the passage on the left-hand side. And other than that, I'd like to introduce you to Venerable Upasama.
Very good.
I got it right.
Yeah, you did.
From the Serpentine Monastery. He'll lead us through our meditation tonight and a bit of a talk. Would you be
available for a question or two after.
Anything you want to
yes?
do.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, anything. Thank you very much, General.
Okay, now turn the lights out. We want to see the ambience.
We say the Metasuda first.
Oh, okay, the Metasuda first. Oh, okay.
You want the light off now?
No, you can't read it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, we do the Metasuda. Metasuda is very good.
Yep. Okay. This is what should be done
by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest things that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness all over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to thee, the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Now we should light the incense as well. Could you do that? Could you light the incense? Good. Right here. See this?
Okay.
And see this? These two? Let's see if it's possible. Lower it, lower. Don't worry. No, you have to hold it a while. Okay, that's good. That's work.
I'm going to burn me in a
minute. Okay. No, that's okay.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. You're
going to
die, yeah.
Okay, that's
good. You're good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Good enough. Good enough. Okay. And now the lights can go out for a minute and see how that works.
Lights.
Right.
Got the lights out?
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Now we have the ambience. Ambience. Sit for a minute quietly and I'll say something and then we'll have some guided meditation. Get into a comfortable position, because when we start the guided meditation we'll be comfortable. Remember, comfort is very important, otherwise your body will disturb you. So just adjust whatever you need to adjust. everyone wants to be right, loved, appreciated, understood. We all want that. But the only thing that happens because of that is dukkha, suffering. Because you can't always be liked, you can't always be loved, you can't always be appreciated and understood. There's going to be some people who like you and some people who don't like you. There's going to be some people who understand you and some people who don't understand you. We have in Buddhism what is called the four worldly dhammas. You know about these four worldly dhammas? Praise and blame. Fame and ill fame. Gain and loss. Pleasure and suffering. And everyone, of course, wants gain. They want the pleasure. They want the fame. And they want the gain. They want it. They want the good ones. But they don't want the other ones. But the problem is that all these things come together. You can't have praise without blame. These are worldly dhammas. You get one and the other. You don't get just one. You can't. Because that's the nature of the world. So we're always wanting things that we can't get. And that is dukkha. Wanting to get something or wanting to get rid of something. The first noble truth, remember I talked about this last time I was here? The first noble truth is suffering. This is such an important thing to understand. And I always go back to this. This is the only thing I teach. The Buddha said, what did he say? There's only one thing I teach, and that is dukkha and how its end to reach. That's the only thing the Buddha taught. He could have taught many, many things. He could have taught about the universe. He could have talked about the plant world. He could have talked about a lot of things. He was very wise. But he only talked about dukkha. Because that's the only thing that really matters. To get out of the dukkha. Because that's the big problem in human life. So what is the dukkha? What is this thing called dukkha? Every time I come, I only talk about dukkha. I will never talk about anything else. Because unless you understand the dukkha, you'll no reason to get out. Why am I in a monastery? Why am I not a lay person? I've been a lay person. I've been married several times. I've had girlfriends. I've had fantastic jobs. I've been rich. I mean, I've had all kinds of things. Why did I go to a monastery? There's no reason. Why should I go? I don't have any problems. Why did I go to a monastery? Because I saw the dukkha. And as soon as I saw the dukkha, I told my daughter. My daughter is a nun in nun's monastery. As soon as I saw the dukkha, I told Analia, her name is Analia, I said, get rid of everything in the house. Everything. I had a huge library, thousands of books. I lived in Taiwan. I had beautiful dishes. I had Song Dynasty vases. Song Dynasty as good as the museum quality. I had dishes that I ate noodles out of that were worth $10,000, $20,000. Just wash them in the sink. I had a lot of good things from the world, but I wanted to get rid of all of it. Why? Because it's all dukkha. The whole thing is just all dukkha. We collect things. We amass things. We try to own things. We're huge collectors of dukkha. That's all it is. We want to make dukkha ours. We want dukkha. We're looking for it. We're searching for it. We're reaching out for it all the time. Every moment of the day, we're reaching out for dukkha. Because we want things. Look at the things that people collect, for example. What do they collect? Everything. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Dishes I collect. Magazines I collect. Books you collect. What else do you collect? Menus you collect. Coins you collect. Stamps you collect. People collect sweaters. People collect pottery. People collect anything. People collect cars. People collect houses. People collect servants. People collect sex. People collect experience. Anything. To amass anything. Why did they do this? Why did they do this? Think about all the things you collected. The whole house is full of dukkha. Why is it dukkha? Well, everything you have, every piece, every single piece can break, can fall apart, because it's all impermanent. Not only that, every time you have a piece of something, you have to have a place to put it. You have to go and put it there. Then if it breaks, you have to mend it. Then you have to clean it. Then you have to take care of it. Every piece in the house. Look at your house. How long does it take to clean your house? How long does it take to clean my house? I'll tell you how much time I spend a week. And I clean it every week. I mop it twice and sweep it twice every week. And it takes 15 minutes to clean my house. If you could do that, you would have a much easier time. Much easier. Why is that? Because you created more dukkha. I'm trying to eliminate dukkha. Isn't that the idea of human life? To eliminate dukkha? Not to create more and more and more and more dukkha. So we put dukkha on an altar. And we say, yeah, I want to get rid of. There's nothing else in human life. You're always wanting to get. If you're sitting down, you want to get up. If you get up, you want to sit down. If you're walking, you want to eat. If you're eating, you want to lay down. If you're reading, you have to call someone on the telephone. You call someone on the telephone, you have to visit the neighbor. Always moving, always moving. Always wanting something else. Why do people do this? Because they're not happy. Why do people collect things? They're not happy. Why do people watch television? They're not happy. You know why they watch television? Because on television you can see other people's dukkha, and it's worse than mine. Boy, that's great. You can go to the movies and watch real dukkha. That's why we liked it, because we get off on other people's more suffering than us. Everyone's suffering. You're not the only one. Most people think, oh, I have it so bad. No one else in the world has it as bad as me. Let me tell you a secret. No one has a monopoly on suffering. Everyone has it. Everyone in this room has suffering. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Everyone. Why? Because you're wanting things. The Buddha said, the second noble truth. What is the cause of suffering? Craving. Craving is the cause of suffering. Doesn't sound good, craving. Actually, he said, greed is the cause of suffering. And you could say craving. Or you could say desire. Or you could say wanting. Or liking. Sounds better, doesn't it? Wanting. I just want, blah, 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 blah. Wanting is the same thing. Just wanting. You're wanting suffering, that's all. So, what is this? Why do we come into this existence? Why are you here as a human being? That's what you have to ask yourself. That's what I ask myself. Why have I entered this realm? Because you think it's going to be good. You decided you're going to be here. It doesn't just happen. You want to be here. You think there's pleasure here. If you don't think there's pleasure here at all, you don't want to be here. Everyone wants to be here. Why do you want to be in this group? You think, if I come to this group, I'll get a little pleasure. Something, I'll get peaceful, I'll get calm, I'll get happy. That's why you come. You come because you want something. But what are you going to get? Just dukkha. That's why I'm here, to give you the dukkha. The reason I'm talking about dukkha is because everyone forgets it. If I give you a nice teaching about two bad bricks on the wall, or two bad this or that, or this, or, you know, those kind of teachings, they're good. They make you feel good. You go home, boy, I learned something. And this teacher comes, he tells me, my whole life is just dukkha. Sounds terrible. But actually, it's the best thing you can ever know, is dukkha. It's not an enemy. It's your best friend. Dukkha is a friend. It's your teacher. It's teaching you about human life and what it is. It's the real teaching. The Buddha didn't think dukkha was a bad thing. It just is. Dukkha just is. It exists. You have a human body. And the human body can fall down and break their neck, just like I did. Anyone can fall down and break their neck. I don't have it any worse than anyone else. When I went to the hospital here, not here, but in Royal Perth, every time I go to the clinic, I see 20 people with a neck brace just like I had, with broken necks. 20! They did the same thing, fell on their face, just like me. And different. They didn't just fall on their face, they fell this way, fell that way, but they all fell, and they all sleep in chairs, just like I do. And I talk to them. It's consoling, actually, to know everyone has dukkha. 20 other people have it, the same problem. So we're here because we think that we're going to get something. We're going to have something. What can you have? Okay, let's look at what we can have. Because people, you're saying to yourself, yeah, he's saying, oh, it's all dukkha, dukkha, but look at me. I have such a great life. I have a nice husband. I have beautiful children. I don't have to work, or I have a good job, or something. And you think you're having a good life. But take a real look inside. Ask yourself honestly. Take an assessment of yourself. Look inside. Are you really, really 100% happy, contented, satisfied, nothing missing, everything you ever wanted you have? I would say no one in this room can say, raise their hand and say, yes, I have it. Why? Because you're in the dukkha realm, and unless you get enlightened, even if you get enlightened, you still have dukkha. You think you get enlightened, you're not going to have dukkha? You still have the dukkha. Why? Because you have a human body. You get up in the morning, you have to pee. If you don't pee, you're going to have dukkha. You get up in the morning, you have to eat breakfast or have your coffee or whatever. If you don't have it, you're going to have dukkha. You have to go to work, right? Why do you have to go to work? Because we have to earn a living. You have to survive, right? Everyone, right? Right? Yeah. Wrong. Why? Because no one survives. I don't know anyone in the world who ever survived. Do you know anyone? Yeah. I don't know anyone. No one survives. Everyone dies. That's what the Buddha knew. But we forget it. We want to survive. We want to work to live. But we're not going to live. You're not going to get it. I'm telling you, everyone here is going to die. No matter how much work you do, you're working for nothing. You're working for your death. That's all it is. That's the truth. The truth is the hardest thing. That's why they're called the Four Noble Truths. Because they're the hardest thing to stomach. No one wants to hear it. Everyone says, don't talk to those people at Armadale about dukkha. Because some of them are depressed. Then they'll get more depressed. I said, when I talk about dukkha, everyone gets happy. Why? Because it's good to know the truth, and truth always makes you happy, if it is true. It has to. Don't we all want to know the truth? Or do we want to know some fairy tale? And the two of them lived happily ever after. But there's no such thing as happily ever after. Do you know anyone who ever lived happily ever after? Do you know anyone, anywhere, except in the movies? That's all. It's a movie. And that movie is played over and over and over again, and people believe it. Even though we know it isn't true, I want to believe it. And we do believe it. And that's why you keep doing it, marriage once, twice, girlfriends, boyfriends, relationships. All relationships are just dukkha. Can you imagine having a relationship with another human being? Feelings. Let's look at feelings. Don't feelings change? Doesn't your feeling from this morning change until now? Mm-hmm. So how can you have a feeling for someone for the rest of your life? It's stupid. It's an idiot. You have to be crazy to believe that you can have a relationship with someone and the feelings are not going to change. It's totally normal. It's like saying I'll never be sick. Does anyone here ever not sick? Never in your whole life? It's impossible. So we don't have any idea of what's real. Get real. You have to get real. So the teaching on dukkha is so important because we forget it. And as soon as you hear it, you remember it, and then you go home, you'll forget it. That's why every time I come back, I talk about dukkha, to remind you. Because if you don't know about dukkha, then you'll be crazy. You're a crazy person. Most people are crazy. What are you doing? If you knew you're going to die, which you don't, he's going to die, he's old, but I'm not going to die. Everyone in this room is going to die. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. It's not a bad thing. It's normal. You got born. What do you expect? Anyone who gets born has to die. That's what you get when you're born. You get a certificate. Now you're going to die. That's it. And that's the truth. But we forget it. Everyone who's born is going to get sick, going to get old, and they're going to die. I didn't believe it either when I was younger. And now I know for sure. Anyone who's older knows for sure. But when you're young, when I say young, up to about 50 or 60, you don't believe it. They're going to die, they're going to get sick, they're going to get old, but not me. It's impossible. But you will. That's why I'm telling you, remind you. Why is this reminder so important? The only thing I'm doing is reminding you of what you know. Everything I'm saying you know is true. I didn't say anything yet that wasn't true. Did I? No. I'm telling you the truth. But what's the problem? We forget it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to know it. We push it away. And by pushing it away, we don't come to peace with it. Peace is what we want. Everyone wants to be peaceful. Upasama means peaceful. I want to be peaceful. I want to be happy. That's why I'm a monk. Because I have an easy life, simple life, as simple as you could get, you know? In this human world right now, the life I live is a very simple life. I live a simpler life than most of the monks. I'm the only monk in the monastery who doesn't use a computer. Why don't I use the computer? Because it's dukkha. Why do I have to get my head into all that nonsense? The young ones, they want the computer all the time. They look for opportunities to get more and more megabytes. I don't even know what a megabyte is anymore. gigabytes, excuse me. When I was young, they had megabytes. Now they have gigabytes. It's just more and more. The human condition is more and more. A mass and a mass. More and more. But for Buddhism, this is very important to know. What is what we're doing as a Buddhist? We're getting less and less. 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 Ending things, not beginning things. You know, in the West and in other religions, they celebrate beginnings. But in Buddhism, we celebrate the ending. The ending of everything. Already two people left. That's pretty good. Because sometimes when I talk, it's empty. I'm the only one here. I remember once when I was teaching, when I was younger, and I was talking, and there was no one in the room. Absolutely no one. And what do they call it? The person who's in charge of the whole teaching program came into the room, and they saw me lecturing to an empty room. What are you doing? I said, they all left. I'm still teaching. It's my job, so I just go on teaching. That's all. I don't care if everyone leaves. I'm happy. I'm happy no matter what you do. You break my neck, I'm happy. I don't care. I'm happy with it. Why? Because I make peace with it. I know how to make peace. How do you make peace? You respect every moment. Every moment you're alive, you have respect for that moment. That's all you can do. You leave it alone. You don't try to improve it. You don't try to make it better. You don't try to fix it. You don't try to mend it. You don't do anything. The grass will grow by itself. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to give it fertilizer. It will grow by itself. Everything takes care of itself. You're not needed. Believe me. You think you're needed. That's why you don't want to die. Because I'm needed. I'm important. My children, my husband, my family, my this, my that. You make up all these stories. They'll do fine without you. The whole world will run with. The sun will come up without you. The moon will come up without you. The stars will shine without you. You don't need anything. No one needs you. So be happy. No one needs you. No responsibilities. That's what I say. I'm happy. I decided when I became a monk, I'm going to be happy. Why not? I haven't been happy my whole life. I might as well get happy. Why not be happy? Is there something wrong with being happy? Do you have to suffer? To get on the spiritual path, do you have to suffer? You have to put nails, walk on nails, or broken glass? No, it's a happy path. Buddhism is a happy path. They say, the Buddha said, Nibbana Paramam Sukham. Nibbana is the highest happiness. What is Nibbana? Extinction. Finished. The end. The light goes out. The candle goes out. That's Nibbana. The candle goes out, and that's Nibbana. That's all it is. It doesn't go to the east. It doesn't go to the west. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It just goes out. Finished. The work is done. You don't have to come back and do it all over again. Diapers. Elementary school. High school. You want to do this all over again? Relationships. Children. You want to do this all over again and again and again and again and again and again. So this dukkha is reaching out, trying to get, catching it, holding it, keeping it. Can you keep anything? That's the whole problem. Just have to look at the truth of things. Can you keep anything? What can you keep? Tell me something you can keep forever. Anything. Mount Everest, you can't keep forever. It will disappear. The whole planet Earth will disappear. You're going to disappear. Everything in your body, every great thought you had is going to disappear. All the knowledge in your brain is going to disappear, either through dementia or death. It's going to go. You can't hold anything, but you keep reaching out for things, thinking that's going to make me happy. It's the delusion of thinking that by reaching out, grabbing onto, holding, you can keep it, but you can't. So what happens? What happens because of that? Then you have to reach out again because you can't keep it. So you have to reach out again and try to hold it and then try to keep it. And you can't. So what do? You have to reach out again and again and again. And it rolls on and on. Lifetimes and lifetimes of reaching out, trying to get, trying to hold on to, and you can't do it. The worst kind of dukkha is trying to get rid of dukkha. That's the worst. You get dukkha, you break your neck, and then you try to get rid of the broken neck. You try to get rid of your bad husband. You try to get rid of your crazy wife. You try to get rid of all these things, and you can't get rid of them. Why? Because you get the next one the same thing. Or worse. Much worse. Oh, I was so happy before. Wow. Oh, it was so good. And I didn't realize it. Well. Try again. And you try again and again and again, and it doesn't work. But you keep doing this. Why do we do this over and over? Not only lifetime and lifetime, just in this lifetime, isn't that enough? Why do we do it? Because we're crazy. That's all. And that's why I talk about dukkha, because we're all crazy and we have to get sane. And the teaching on dukkha makes you sane, a little bit sane, not really sane, because you hear it, but you don't believe it all. It passes through, and quickly you'll get rid of it. Because, look, if you really understood dukkha, you'd be totally enlightened. That's what enlightenment is, understanding dukkha. Because once you understand dukkha, there's nothing you want to hold on to. The mind is completely empty, free. Your meditation just goes into nibbana. You go right in. You see how it works? You let go of everything right away. You have no attachments. Nothing you're holding on to anymore. But you don't see the dukkha. Even monks, you think the monks see the dukkha? Otherwise they wouldn't be playing with the computers. They don't see the dukkha, especially the young ones. Anyway, we want to be happy. So, I'm here to make you happy. I'm not here to make you unhappy. How do you get happy is be real. Understand what dukkha is, and understand, once you understand dukkha, a little, even, then you can accept it. Okay. Dukkha is. It's not a bad thing. It's one of the universal characteristics of human life. There are three characteristics. One, impermanence. Anicca. Two, dukkha. Unsatisfactoriness. Nothing is satisfactory. Nothing can last. Nothing will stay. Everything changes. You can't keep it. And three, non-self or corelessness. Nothing has a center. nothing real, nothing with a center. It's like the Buddha's simile of a plantain tree. It's just leaf after leaf, or an onion, leaf round and round, and nothing in the middle. It's empty. Empty. These are three characteristics of human existence. Not human existence, every existence. There isn't any place in the universe, any place in any mode of human or otherworldly life. You know, there are 31 realms, according to the Buddha, there are 31 different realms. We're the fifth from the bottom. We're not in such a good place, but we're good enough. In fact, we're in the best place to get enlightened, the Buddha said. Human life, because you get a little pleasure, a little pain. But you don't get all pain. You're not in the hell realm where you're all pain. You couldn't meditate. You wouldn't even think of meditating. If you're in the heaven realm, it's pretty bad too. Hey, I'm so great. Look at me. I'm so beautiful. I'm so wonderful. I lived for so long. I'm so happy and so ecstatic. I don't have to practice. I don't have to get enlightened. But then after an eon or so, you get it ends too. And then you have to go back down to another realm. Maybe the hell realm. Maybe an animal realm. Who knows what realm? No end to it. You're in a human realm. This is the best time you could ever have. This is the time to get enlightened. That's the only reason to survive. We say survive. You can't survive, but you survive a few more years, at least you can practice. That's why I'm trying to survive. Otherwise I would say, well, I don't die. I don't care. But I haven't finished the work. There's work to be done. There's things to be done. And I'm doing them as best I can. So, how do I make you happy? I take you on a little journey, okay? A little journey. Get ready for a journey. I don't know where I'll be taking you yet, but I'll take you somewhere. And then I'll explain why I took you on the journey. You've been trekking through the Himalaya mountains. You've been doing this for a week or so. Today, in the evening, it's already evening, you're going to go to an inn, a very nice inn. You've been camping out, and now you're going to go to an inn and stop the journey, finish the journey, and then go back down the mountain. So you're tired, not too hungry. It's late. It's only 8:30 or 9 o'clock, but it's later than you thought. You thought you'd get to your destination at 6. And you see in the distance some smoke, and it's a bright night. The moon is full. The stars are out. And it looks like that's the inn. As you get a little closer, yeah, that is the inn. And you're happy knowing that you finally have gotten to your destination. You go into the inn. The proprietor says, takes you to your room, and he has prepared some boiling water, hot water, and a bucket of cold water, and there's a beautiful ladle, wooden ladle in the bucket, and you take off your clothes and you shower. Use a half a ladle of hot water, half a ladle of cold water, and it feels so good after being out trekking for so many days to take a little shower. Wow, it feels so good. And after you shower, you get dressed and you smell some incense. Yeah, smell something, and you start following the scent of the incense, and you come upon a little tiny room, not that tiny, but it has an altar, a Buddhist altar, and it has some cushions in it. Maybe 5 or 6 people can sit in that room, and it looks like it's a meditation room. There's a little fireplace, a tiny little fireplace, and it's already. Fire is burnt down, but there's still embers in there, and the room is very cozy room, and very delightful. And it has two big windows in the front of the room, and you can look outside in the skies, you can see the stars in the sky. It's a little high up. The inn is pretty high up. And you can see the stars, and it's a beautiful, beautiful night. And you decide, yeah, I haven't meditated in a while. I'll just sit down. I'm not going to meditate. I'm just going to sit down and rest. I want to rest. We all need a rest. Come to the inn to rest. We're not going to meditate anymore. Finish with this meditation stuff. It's all nonsense. It's just dukkha. Let's just rest. So you sit down on the pillow and you think to yourself, wow, this is wonderful. All alone in this inn, everyone seems to have gone to sleep already. It's 9 o'clock. Everyone has gone to sleep. Even the birds, of course, have gone to sleep, and small animals. It's totally silent, totally peaceful. Wow, I'm so happy to be here. Just sitting here doing nothing. I'm not trying to get anywhere anymore. I'm not trying to do anything anymore. I'm just happy to be. Just happy to be alive. And you sit there and you find peace. You find joy. You find rest. didn't know how long you sat, so I wasn't sure if it was 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. So I try to get it in the middle somewhere. How long do you usually sit?
About half an hour normally.
Was it about a half hour?
I don't. Just 5 minutes over.
Mm-hmm. 5 minutes over? Okay. I figured. Yeah, I thought 40 minutes, and if it's 30, then if I 35 is in the middle. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Why did I teach this way? Because when most people meditate, they go home and they always, okay, here we go again, meditate. Don't do that because it gets boring. Make some kind of scenario for yourself, some kind of storyline. Start with, you know, going out somewhere into a park or a garden or climbing the mountain or anything. Visiting a friend and having a nice chat with a close friend. Some kind of joyful, happy, peaceful event. Start your meditation with your own guided meditation and then let it just happen, evolve. You'll be surprised how well that works. I do that all the time. And I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know where I was going to take you. And you don't know what's going to happen, where you're going to be. And actually you are in the Himalayas and you're in a different place rather than in your home with your children and whatever. Boring. So make it interesting for yourself. That keep your interest high. That's the most important thing with meditation, because you want to continue your practice. So you want to continue your practice, you have to make it interesting. You can't do something just rote every day, okay, I'm going to meditate. It'd just be boring. You're not in the army. You don't have to do this. You're doing it because you like it. I meditate because I like it. There's nothing else I like more in the whole world than meditating. That's the way it should be. Then you're easy to meditate. Then you have fun meditating. Then there's a reason to meditate. Fun. Pleasure, remember, the mind always goes towards pleasure. Either sensual pleasure or the higher pleasures. So get the right take on everything. Otherwise you have to keep going to the refrigerator and eating something. Understand? So go for the higher pleasure, okay? The higher pleasure is the pleasure of the mind. Pleasure of peace, stillness, contentment, friendship, you know, inspiration. All those nice things that we don't have in normal life, in our everyday life. Don't go for the old stuff, new stuff, okay? And now, I heard there were questions that people wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Is there time?
Yeah, I'll just close.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Questions is good. Anyone has any question about anything, I talk about anything. I'll talk about sex, drugs, anything. Anything. I've been banned by Ajahn Brahm from talking about drugs.
Just before we close, for the sake of the newer people, we do have a library if you are interested in taking out a book. We do have some free literature. We also sell books and CDs. David over there, if you're interested. Rachel said she's still got a few t-shirts that she'd like to get rid of. So if you're interested, she'll be back next week. And also, for the older members of the group, Madison is here again tonight. She's still looking at asking a few questions and finding out a bit about how we tick, so to speak. So yeah, please feel free to speak to Madison before she goes. But other than that, thank you very much, and hope to see you all next week. And if you feel free to want to ask Venerable a question. On behalf of the group too, Venerable, thank you very much for your time tonight.
My pleasure.
Please feel free to visit us again.
Okay, if I visit you again, and you know I'm coming, because they'll tell you who's coming, right? Just set this up just like this, and don't use the candles because it's a wreck. So just use the light.
Yeah.
That light is good. It was good. And this is not, it doesn't work. I won't bring it, don't worry. But Keep the light and the mat, and that's enough.
And no chair.
No chair. No chair.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions? I'm open for questions. They told me there were questions. There was some questions.
That one?
Ask questions, because that's how you get wise, by asking questions. Don't be afraid to ask a question. I answer directly.
Do you want to look up that dukkha?
D-U-K-K-H-A. D-U-K-K-H-A. Dukkha. You should know about this. This is important. That's the first noble truth. Dukkha. That's important. The second noble truth is suffering. The dukkha is caused by craving. The third noble truth is nibbana, the end of suffering. We don't talk about that. That's pretty advanced. And the fourth noble truth is the way to the end of suffering, the Eightfold Path. That's a little complicated too. So we talk about the first two. Those are really easy and important, and everyone can understand them. Okay? You're welcome. Yes, yes. Don't raise your hand. Just talk. Go ahead.
This may not be a nice question, but my daughter has stage 4 cancer, and
okay.
I'm just wondering, what can I say to her?
Tell her you really enjoyed being with her all this lifetime. You're not going to be sad. She has to die eventually. Everyone dies. So you don't have to tell her she's going to die, because she is going to die anyway. You're going to die too. And it was great being with you. And I'm so happy to have had you as a child. Isn't that nice? Makes completion. Always, you know, my daughter, you know, because I had this injury, she was worried. My daughter was worried. She's a nun. She was worried. And not worried, but she, you know, but we have made peace with each other. If she dies, I'm happy. She's only 31 years old. Very healthy. But anyone can die. If she dies, I won't be unhappy. She's lived a good life, had almost no pain, is a nun in a monastery, lived very good. I wouldn't be unhappy. She's not going to be unhappy. I lived a good life. You know? It's wonderful. We've had fun together. Didn't you? You did. So enjoy it and share that with her. That way you feel good and she feels good. There should be no sadness. Death is a normal thing. Who doesn't die? It's to be expected. So we just go with that flow and have a nice attitude towards it. The real attitude. And that's true. You did have a good life. I can tell. You did have a good life with her. And she had a good life with you. And a friend is going to leave. Okay. You're going to depart from each other. But that's okay. We all have friends that life keeps moving on. You've had lovers and husbands and friends, and they stay for a while, and it goes on. You can't stay the same all your life. You know, I was married 55 years or 100 years or whatever. You can't do it. If you do, it's just you're making it up. My parents were very unusual. My father was 91 years old when he died. My mother and father kissing each other and holding hands at 90. That's nice. I thought that was terrible. I thought they were just ordinary people. I just thought, well, I'm going to do better than that. That's not easy to do. So I come from a very loving family, and I always had a good attitude, and I've learned that from them, you know? And trust. You know, trust the other person, that respect them and trust them. That's all. Okay?
What do you advise when you're meditating and your mind wanders? What rulings have you got, or what do you...
Nothing. I do nothing. Let it wander. What's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Just wondering if you had a little insight there.
You want me to tell you a technique to get rid of it?
Of course.
Yeah, but you see what you're doing? You're wanting a technique to get rid of it. You're creating dukkha for yourself. That's dukkha. That is dukkha. Because you can't get rid of it. The mind will wander. That's the nature of the mind. What's wrong with it? Give up. That's what I say. And don't try to be good. Everyone's trying to be good and not have their mind wander, concentrate on your breathing. And what happens? You can't. Why? Because you're trying. Just give up. And then it will happen naturally. when I start meditating and my mind's busy, this, that, because I had a very busy day, and I come here, I have to come here, I have to think of something to tell you, all that shit. And then I come here and I'm sitting down, okay, I'm meditating, I have to meditate. I'm the teacher, I have to meditate, right? Okay, so but after a while, I don't do anything, I don't care what happens. After a while, it calms down. And I'm enjoying it. Hey, it's pretty good. Hey, I'm happy. But I better get them out of the meditation, because otherwise I'll be sitting here all night. You see what I mean? It happens by itself. You've got to be patient. Patient. It's called patience. In the Pali, it's called Kanti. Kanti means patience. Patience, a beautiful word. Patience. What does patience mean? Waiting. In the present moment. Just waiting. Everything is changing all the time. Isn't it? So your mind is changing too. Give it a chance to change. Instead of being the director of the whole show. There is no director. You can't direct the show. That's the whole problem. Understand? Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Ask questions, because I don't come often. And if I do come, my answers will be a little bit different maybe than other people. Maybe.
So you're saying that you shouldn't try and control the mind?
Not that I shouldn't. The should is one of those words. You got to be careful. You just let the, your body and your mind are not, don't belong to you. They do not belong to you. If my body belonged to me, then I could tell my neck what to do. I can't tell my neck what, I can't tell my mind what to do. You can't, because you don't own it. You don't own your mind. You don't own your body. You think you do, but you don't. That's the whole problem. I didn't talk about that yet. That's called anatta. That's the third noble truth. That's the third characteristic. That's the big problem. The doer, the controller, the movie director. That's the one you have to watch, because that's giving you the dukkha. That's the cause of dukkha, really. You see, you have suffering, okay? You do have suffering. And what happens? Okay, something I must do about it. Who is this someone who has to do something about it? Who is this person? That's the dukkha. That's you thinking you're in control. That's where the dukkha comes from, really. It's not, the suffering activates the will, activates this doer. And the doer starts doing it. Okay, there's a problem. I have to find a solution. You were asking me for the solution to the problem. There is no solution. If there was a solution, it would be, we wouldn't have to be here. There's no solution. We're always looking for solutions. That's what the meaning of life is. Looking for solutions to dukkha. There are none. There are none. There never will be any. We just create more suffering. Dukkha dukkha, it's called double dukkha. You have dukkha, okay? Say you have dukkha. My life is miserable. Why do you have dukkha? And then you think, yeah, it's my mother. My mother messed me up. My mother is the problem. Then you have double dukkha. You have dukkha, now your mother has dukkha. What are you doing this for? Then you can have triple dukkha. My father also, and my neighbors, and my boss at work. Everyone. It's creating this dukkha for you, but you're the only one who's doing it. You know? The body is not creating dukkha for me. The body is just doing what the body does. But I'm thinking, a bad body. You shouldn't be hurting. Why are you hurting? I'm creating dukkha. I'm doing it in my mind. The first step in the whole spiritual path. You are responsible for your happiness and suffering and the freedom from both of those. That's the first step. You have to take full responsibility for everything that goes on, because it's all in your mind. Isn't it? No, it's not in my mind. It's my mother. No, it's my boss. No, it's my husband. No, it's the neighbors. See what's happening? Blaming other people. This is what the favorite game of the favorite parlor game of all, you know, people, human beings. Blaming other people. We have to blame other people. It's not us. It's the neighbors. They're too noisy. It's the boss. He's too harsh. It's the husband.
He's too demanding. It's the children. They're too noisy. It's you know, always something. So that's the whole problem. Give up.
That's it.
Let go. Let go of this door. How to let go of the door? Just don't pay any attention to it. And we'll get tired and go away. Go somewhere else and annoy someone else. Okay? Any questions? Keep asking questions. These are, I like questions. Better than talks, even. Any questions? Ask. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? What's going to happen? Yeah.
I don't understand what you're saying. You haven't got control over your mind, because you have. You can either be sad or grumpy or whatever. Or
you can
go for a walk. You've got
you can.
Yeah.
I can't. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just feel miserable. You never woke up in the morning and feel miserable for no reason. I don't know why. I just feel miserable. I'll tell you why. Causes and conditions. The causes and conditions. Of course, what you're saying is also true. You can change those causes and conditions. It's all in your mind. Understand? So that's important to know. But that's a skillful means to know. But at the same time, there are causes and conditions. Like I break my neck. I can't be happy, but I can be peaceful. You can't be happy with a broken neck. I can. I was actually pretty happy. Well, for the last few months, I didn't have to work. I didn't have to, you know, do anything. And now, because I took off the brace on Friday, and then already I have to go to the prison and teach, I have to come here and teach right away. Huh? I'm thinking maybe I should. Other people have told me, there's some of my friends in the monastery, some of my friends said, put it back on. There are other people said, other people will say, hey, his brace is off, get him to work. They're telling me to go to work already. See what happens? It's all dukkha. They're giving themselves dukkha. I don't get any from it. I don't care what anyone, I don't care what Ajahn Brahm says. Why should I care what the monks say? I don't care. It's just noise, that's all. Sound, that's all it is. Now, Ajahn Brahm has a hard time with me. Very hard. Very hard. I like him. I like Ajahn Brahm.
Can he give you the sack?
Huh?
Can he give you the sack?
Well, what sack? I don't take any sacks. It's hard. I'm a hard one.
Okay.
Then we'll say, I'm sorry. Oh, catching the bus somewhere.
No, I understand. I mean, he has his problems. I have my problems, you know. And I sympathize. I tell him all the time. He works hard. I ask him, how is it going? He says, overworked. I say, what do you expect? You take it on. You know, you slow down, you're getting older. He said, how can he slow down? You know, he has to do this, he has to do that. He doesn't have to do anything. Delegate it to other people. That's what I say. But anyway, he enjoys doing it, otherwise he wouldn't do it. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I answer your question? Okay. I don't know if I answered. If I don't answer, keep pushing me, and I'll try to do it.
I said he does a good job too.
Who? Oh, he does fantastic. He's incredible, incredible. That's why I'm in this monastery. I couldn't be any other monastery. Because he understands. You see, he has good understanding, and because he has good understanding, I can tolerate that being in this kind of monastery. Most abbots in other monasteries, they're control freaks. You know, do this, do that, do this, do that. They're just control freaks. They're controlling themselves, basically. They're causing a problem for themselves. Look, you can't control other people. You can't control your wife. You can't control your own mind. How can you control other people? They're totally different than you. You don't have any idea what's going on in their minds. You don't know all the causes and conditions that created their mindset. You have a question? Okay. So we don't know why people do things. So be kind to other people. Remember, everyone is at a different place. Everyone is at a different place in their development. So you have a question? Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
Are you allowed to take drugs when you, or do you have to suffer as a monk?
Okay. Can you take drugs? You can't take drugs.
Why
can't.
No, that's a no, no, no.
Did you take drugs?
I did. Lots of drugs. No, but I only took the good drugs. What I call the good drugs. LSD. Psilocybin mushrooms. DMT. Only good drugs. Those are the good psychedelics. Those are the mind expanders. I never took bad drugs. I never was interested. I want to expand my mind. I don't want to contract it. So those are not bad drugs. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. It's going to be on tape, too. But, you know, drugs are not just drugs. It's like saying, you know, monasteries are not just monasteries. It depends on the people in the monastery. It depends on the abbot. It depends on a lot of things. So drugs have their own categories, you know? So we shouldn't just lump it all together. Putting drugs in a box is not a good idea, making judgments about them. We don't know why people take drugs. Without the drug movement in the 60s, when I was younger, that was the drug movement. Without that, there wouldn't be any Buddhism in the West. That's what brought Buddhism in. It opened people's minds to new ways of looking at the world. So the drugs were not a bad thing. They were the prerequisite for the change of consciousness in the West, especially in America where I was born. So I don't think that they're bad. No such thing as bad and good. That's all conventional reality. It's just things that are going on and happening, and how people use it, their mindset and whatever. I wouldn't use drugs now. I was thinking of this the other day. If I had the opportunity and I was allowed to, would I use drugs? And I wouldn't. Why? Because my mindset is so good and so delicate now compared to a drug state that it would be suffering for me, it would be dukkha for me. So it depends where you are, you see. But I wouldn't say that everyone shouldn't use drugs, but a monk shouldn't use it. If you're meditating and you're getting some good meditation, you would think it's terrible. You wouldn't want to do it. You wouldn't even think of doing it. It's like sex. I know I've had a lot of sex. The best tantric sex. I taught tantric sex in the university. That's very high level sex. This is not good sex, super duper sex. This is tantric sex. This is way beyond anything you can imagine of what sex is like. And I taught it in the university, that level. So, is sex bad or is sex good? Well, up to a certain point, I wouldn't want to have sex now. Even tantric sex, because it would spoil my meditation. It's a subtle levels of things. So it depends where people are. I would say for the average person, tantric sex is well recommended. You know? So it depends where people are. And that's all I can say. I can't judge what other people need. Everyone eats differently. Ajahn Brahm eats fish and chips all the time. If I ate the fish and chips, I'd be in the hospital. And if I came to this hospital, I'd be in real trouble. Does that answer your question? Okay. What was your question? You have a question? Okay.
Can I just answer?
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to work, but is enlightenment, is that about a journey for us all to discover or to
pursue?
Yes, about not giving power to any person, place, or thing. Is that what we are trying to learn, is not giving power to any person, place, or thing? Is that what enlightenment is? Could you I'm
not enlightened, fully enlightened. So if I answer the question, I'm just an idiot just like you. So we're all idiots, so we don't know. If someone is a fully enlightened person in this room, could you recognize them? They don't have a halo around their head. Right? It's hard to recognize. I'm not wearing a badge. I am an enlightened being. We don't know what an enlightened being is because we're not enlightened. You see? So I'm a little humble about this. I know where I am in my practice, you know? I'm making progress, so to speak. You can't make progress. It's just a delusion I'm making progress, but it makes you feel better. But you're not making any progress. Until you make the breakthrough, you're not going anywhere. You're just in samsara. I had a dream the other night, and this dream was great. It was a vinyl record, and they had these different stages of up until the had chants, and it gets you to a higher level and a higher level, and at the end was the evening chant. And I heard that, and then they had the morning chant, and the morning chant I thought was the big one because you would be enlightened already, right, the next day. No, they told me no, that wasn't it. It's all samsara. It's just the morning and the evening. Just keep going. You're nowhere. You got nowhere. You thought you got somewhere. You woke up in the morning, you thought, well, no, it's all the same. So, no. Try to answer your question, really answer your question. What are we trying to do? We don't know what we're trying to do. That's what's so crazy. What are we doing? We don't know what enlightenment is. So what are you looking for? What are you going for? It's like getting on the bus and you don't know where the bus is going to go. Getting on an airplane, you don't know where the airplane's going to go. Right? But you do know a little. You know that there's peace. You know what to be peaceful means. Everyone knows those things. Those are things you can, those are real things that you can work on. You know what peace is. You know what stillness is. You know what contentment is. You know these things because you have them in the daily life. But the enlightenment we don't get in the daily life, so you can't, you shouldn't even bother thinking about that stuff. It will happen naturally. All this stuff is a natural progression. It's not something you do. It's something that happens. You get less and less. You remember I said more and more and more? We're always getting more, collecting things. Well, we're getting less and less. Less and less things in our head. Less and less things in our life. Less and less complication, simplification. Until there's nothing left. That's it. That's what enlightenment is. Nothing left. Gone. Finished. Instead of keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. It's crazy. So that's what I'm going for, is to end it. End what? End the suffering. Put an end to suffering. And never come back to suffering. Why come back? I want to come back. It's great here. No, is it great? He told me it wasn't so great. I have to look at it. So look at it. Go home. When you go home, look at suffering. See, find a place that you think is happy and sit there with it in a meditation. Don't meditate. Just contemplate. Is this really happiness? Contemplate it. If you can find happiness somewhere, then the whole Buddhist teaching is wrong. There is no happiness. It's all made up. There is no happiness. That's it. That's the joy of it. Once you know there is no happiness, then you don't have to look in the world anymore. Then you're finished with that. And then you can get enlightened. That's why I say dukkha is so important. You have to realize there is no joy in the world. There is no real happiness in the world. That's the big teaching. But it's a teaching that you have to arrive at gradually, step by step, stage by stage. So you start off with just meditating, like you're meditating, and you find something that you feel is happy. Is it really happy? Then it's, if it really is happy, it's denying one of the three characteristics of unsatisfactoriness. Is it permanent? See if something is permanent. If it isn't permanent, how can it be happy? If you're going to lose it, anything that you think is happy, if you can lose it, then it can't be happy. You see? It's impossible. So see if anything is permanent and happy. And if you find one, tell me, because I'll go for it right away. There isn't anything. Anyway, I think I'm getting the signals.
That 9 o'clock.
Okay, wait. One more question. Don't deny it. Okay.
If you're saying that you can't be happy and it's not permanent, then it's just now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's now.
Your happiness is just now. It's just this moment.
Yeah, if you're happy, it's this moment. If you're unhappy, it's this moment too. It's just happening, whatever is happening, and to learn how to relax into it. It's unhappy? Okay. It can't be happy all the time. It's happy? Okay. But don't get so, oh, this is it, I got it. No, you don't got it. It's going to lose it. You see what I mean? We keep wanting to get it. Always to get it. You can't get it. There's nothing to get. You're just going to get more dukkha. That's all.